The Insurance Coffee House is hosted by Insurance Search. Insurance Search provides executive recruitment services to insurance companies, brokers, and insurtechs in the UK and across the United States, attracting and retaining the most successful leaders to your insurance business. To find out more, visit insurance-search.com. The Insurance Coffee House, the place where you get to meet and be inspired by the most successful insurance business leaders from across the world. Hosted by Nick Hoadley, CEO of Insurance Search.
Welcome to the Insurance Coffee House. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Lisa Pario, who is the Chief People Officer at Axis Capital. Welcome to the show, Lisa. Great to have you on the show this morning.
Great to be here. Thanks so much, Nick.
Lisa joins us from New York City today. So, Lisa, before we get into the questions, what's your go-to coffee of choice you've got in this morning?
It's the pistachio latte that I've newly developed a taste for. I discovered it, and that is my new favorite.
Very hard to come by, but it's very unique, very delicious. Yeah, so very nice indeed. Lisa, before we talk about Axis Capital and the business and what you're doing there at the moment, could you maybe give an overview to our listeners on your background, your career, and what's led you into this position that you enjoy as Chief People Officer there?
So we took on the Chief People Officer actually as of January of this year, 2024. Just prior to that, I've been at Axis for 7.5, 8 years before I took that post, where I was the head of rewards and I oversaw talent management. So performance management and talent development. Yeah. And prior to joining Axis, I had a long career at Morgan Stanley. So I spent 17 years at Morgan Stanley in a variety of HR-related roles, mostly in compensation-related roles, but I was a business partner, moved around a lot in that organization. So, you know, I really got a broad array of experiences that set me up well when I joined here at Axis.
So two major moments, I suppose, you know, moving from Morgan Stanley into insurance, how did you find that transition? What were some of the similarities or what were the big changes there in that move?
The biggest change for me was going from a huge organization of, 60,000-ish employees at Morgan Stanley to a company that was, I think it was just under 2,000 when I joined, 2,000 people at Axis. So I was excited about being a bigger fish in a, smaller pond, and really being able to get my arms around the organization. And it never felt small, though, when I got to Axis. You had the ability to really implement and make it your own. I had an opportunity to do some great things and really make an impact. So that was the biggest difference, coming from an organization that was a well-oiled machine that had really established processes and expectations of how things got done. And, I would say in the broader financial services, but certainly insurance, a much more specific type of industry. And I had new terms I needed to learn, certainly, and new financial metrics that were really focused on. So that was the learning curve for me. And I'm still learning every day.
There's so much to learn across our careers within insurance, but so much opportunity as well. And speaking of that opportunity, you recently moved into the role of Chief People Officer. How's it going? Maybe you could share a little bit more about your remit there as the Chief People Officer.
It's going great. I'm working harder than I've ever worked because it's also a transition and there's a lot I'm trying to keep track of and want to make sure that we're doing great things. And so I'm trying to be all things to all people. But the team is engaged. I'm excited. We're excited about where Axis is headed. We're certainly transforming as a company. We've got new leadership. We've got a new CEO within the past year. He's brought in some new leaders. And we're really trying to refocus what HR is focused on to drive business results. That's what's super exciting.
I know one of the real key things is the high performance culture there that you have and that you're building. And we're going to touch on that in a second. But perhaps you can give our listeners an overview of where the business is in the current day, the markets that you're operating in, the types of business and your reach and footprint.
For those who aren't familiar with Axis, we're about a 2,000-person company. We're global, specialty insurer, and we have reinsurance. It's a challenging marketplace. We're really trying to hone in on the lines of business that are most profitable for us and managing our overall portfolio at the company level, keeping your eye on that and where we've got outsized risks, where it's most profitable and where there's, you know, a demand for more capital, all of that's to be analyzed constantly. Mm-hmm. And backing away from businesses that aren't profitable and really cycle managing and keeping a close eye on that. And that's what we're really trying to get better at as an organization. And it's been amazing even just to watch that transformation over the past year and how much has shifted and the metrics that we're now focused on and really keeping a close eye on all of that.
And the specialty market is such a competitive market. It's also highly competitive from a talent perspective. Clearly, you need specialist skills, you need specialist knowledge in that area, and there is a fight for that talent. I know building a high performance culture is very important to you. That's obviously there to serve your customers and to serve your brokers and the people that you work with. But also, is it looking at a way of differentiating yourself that you can appeal to talent in the specialty market?
Absolutely. We want to attract people that are excited to help shift the company's evolution and come to Axis and do some great work and bring their expertise and their skills and bring new insights and ways of working and ways of doing things and constantly improving, because our world is changing every minute. As we're talking, things are evolving and changing. AI is on the horizon. Digital focus is on the horizon. You certainly still need your specialty expertise and the systems that we have that support that and the data that we have access to. That's all shifting. And you need people that can see a future vision for all that and be thinking about, what do we need to start paving the way for now so that we can continue to be successful and continue to evolve? And that's the point that I think we're really at, where we want to continue to do what we do best, but we also need to have an eye on the future and where we're going. And we need the right skill sets today and in the future.
That systems and data and that combination with high performing talent is so crucial. And it's very difficult to have one without the other. The systems, the technology, attract the talent, and then the talent needs to use that technology in order to get ahead.
I heard a great quote once, and I'll share it. Stuck with me, and I use it within my HR team quite a bit too. And the quote is, you can take the best people and deck them again a imperfect process or system that is flawed, and that system or process will always win. It is important to think about your technology, your system, your process, because you can work as hard as you want to work, but if your system that you're operating in, and you can extrapolate that to be a lot of things broadly, you're going to always be working harder. Not perfect system is going to win out. I like that sort of statement.
And I think it's so key that that comes from leadership, really. And I think obviously the leadership are the driving force behind the business, but it's usually the best leaders that can see how the market's going to develop and see the tools and technology that can help get ahead of the competition, and that drives the talent as well. So important how they all fit together. What does a high performance culture mean for you there at Axis Capital as a business?
What it means is certainly delivering consistent financial results. It's putting forth discretionary effort, always wanting to get better. Not just getting comfortable and status quo. It's about engagement of our people and diversity of thought and integrating all of that. We've got great talent at Axis, and we want to continue to foster that and attract that and have people that want to work at this organization that feel comfortable sharing different perspectives, contrarian views that help us get better all the time. What if we did this? This will improve XYZ. What if we took this approach? Here's an idea. That's innovation. That's constantly improving and trying to do better. You got to deliver financial results and profitability, but you got to be thinking about, you know, the way you can do that most efficiently too. And high performance to me is people being clear on what's expected of them, delivering that, and then some, because they want to, constantly wanting to perpetuate that and feeling valued and rewarded, and the organization really values what they're bringing to the table. And you know what? And we make mistakes sometimes too, and that's okay. Let's learn from it. It's about a learning mindset. Sure.
And that key thing is about expectations, making sure there's clarity around that. It's very hard to drive high performance if people don't know what the expectations are, where the bar is set. Very key. What are some of the initiatives that you have there? What are some of the ways that you look to drive performance there?
There's a couple of things. Some are a bit more tactical than others. For starters, you hit on it with what you just said, clarity around goals and what's expected. So we just are kicking off, as of yesterday, our goal setting process for 2024. And we spent a lot of time really reinforcing what good looks like for clear goals and the role that managers play in setting clear goals with their employees, so that we're all marching towards the same outcome of what we're trying to deliver on. So we did a lot of work around providing some guidance and clearer ways of thinking about goal setting. So that's going to be important, and then ongoing measurement of all of that. And I think that's a really pivotal change for us. The second thing is we're going to do a body of work around culture and renovating our culture. I'm super excited about this body of work. And we've got, as I mentioned, new leaders around the table. Vince, who's our new CEO in 23, has brought in several new leadership members, and bringing that group together to sort of redefine, what does Axis want to be known for? What are our values as we move forward, as we're transforming as a company? What do those leadership behaviors look like? What does good look like? What do we want to reinforce with our organization and model for the rest of the organization and hold people accountable for? And how do we weave that into our various performance management system? That's the cultural work that we're going to do. We have a workshop set up to really vet through that. We're partnering with an organization called I4CP that's going to help us with best practice around that. And I'm super excited about renovating and redefining our culture for the organization. We have a great culture to begin with, but yeah, we have some areas where we can tinker and improve it.
With that new leadership, with that fresh building of culture there, does it feel like you've now got a new base point to really grow from there?
It really does feel that way. There's a real support push for it. There's an energy around the organization. You can just feel it. It's palpable. And people are excited about what we can deliver on. We've got great talent here. It's unlocking all of that and unlocking the best what people can do and bringing that to life.
Such key part of your role, I suppose, is to really unlock and develop that talent and let it fly and let those underwriters and let those technicians that you have there really thrive.
And give them the tools to be able to do what they do best, the trust to be able to do what they do best.
Lisa, brings us nicely on to the espresso round now, where the questions are short and to the point. So you've got your pistachio latte. Are you ready for the espresso round? A bit stronger now?
I'm ready.
The espresso round.
Lisa, what recommendation would you have for an executive or a leader coming in to interview there at Axis Capital?
I'd say be your authentic self. Ask a lot of questions. Be curious. Be open-minded. Don't make assumptions. Want to understand and learn more before you make judgments on what's been done before. Understand the organization and what got us to where we are as best you can. That'd be my advice.
I think in the insurance industry as a whole, because it's such a relationship-based business, I think sometimes we get unfair perceptions of businesses from the small talk that we have with colleagues or with friends out in the bars or at the networking events. We can get a bad or an overly positive perception of a business. So I think it's so important to go in there open to hearing what they have to say. Looking across to your peers now, HR executives, HR leaders in the insurance industry, what would be your one piece of advice for hiring exceptional talent?
I would say looking at skill sets and experiences and growth mindset and the ability to learn, because I do think things are always changing. And if you're too fixed on what's gotten you to be successful up to a certain point, it may prevent you thinking about what it looks like as you move forward. I think skill set, because I think skills are really critical.
If you hire more on skills, you can bring in more diverse talent, whether it's diverse from different industries, different backgrounds. Like you say, they have a fresh perspective of what good looks like and maybe what that performance, what the quality like. And it sounds like, you know, you've had a big impact there with new executive leaders there. So although they may not necessarily be from other industries, just coming in from different companies, organizations with a fresh approach to things.
That's exactly right. Thank you for bringing that up. And I should have added to that, because we are really trying to focus on diversity and diverse perspectives, diverse backgrounds. But when you are looking for skills, you do tap into broader talent markets. And that's important for us to continue to grow.
When you are recruiting or when you are looking to hire someone, what's important for you when you're selecting an external recruitment partner, an external search firm?
A couple things. How they represent our company, how they best represent our company. That's certainly important. The level of diversity in their candidate slates is going to be something important that I'd want to look at. And the percentage of searches that they filled for areas of where we're trying to build expertise. What's their experience like?
And is there a piece of technology or a tool that your talent attraction team, your talent acquisition team are using either to bring talent into the business or as part of the hiring process?
The two, I guess, technological pieces I would mention are Workday. That's our human capital system that we use. Yeah. We really do a good majority of our recruiting through that system. We use LinkedIn quite a bit too, if you count the technology tools. I think there's a lot of opportunity in the recruiting space to explore greater technological advancements, whether it be AI related or just tools that help you manage that whole process. And we're doing some work to look into those things now. I think there's a big opportunity just for efficiency purposes.
And you know, you mentioned LinkedIn there, and obviously LinkedIn's been around for an incredibly long time. It is such a crucial platform for attracting talent. And I think having opportunities like this on podcasts or other media to talk about the story, to talk about the opportunity, and actually then have that in front of the marketplace, in front of potential candidates, potential talent, is so important. And those platforms now, they allow us to do that. And I think they're very powerful tools indeed. So I think sometimes we might take them for granted, but if they weren't there, it might be a harder challenge. Last question of the espresso round. What would you say is the biggest lesson that your job has taught you that you think everybody should learn at some point in their lives?
Listen more and talk less. And I've been given that coaching a couple of times this year, actually. Feedback that I was given from a couple of members of my own team. But I think there's a lot of truth in there. Listen to what people are really saying. Take it in. Let them feel heard. And you probably learn something along the way. That'd be my advice. I think there's real value in that.
I feel myself just pausing now, not wanting to jump in too quickly. It's such great advice. I think sometimes we're guilty of waiting to speak rather than truly listening. I think that's wonderful advice. So thank you, Lisa. Lisa, time's gone really quickly today. It's been absolutely fantastic having you in the Insurance Coffee House. Before we go, though, do you have a piece of closing advice for our listeners? And if there are people out there now considering an opportunity at Access, what would be the best way of them either reaching out to you or the business?
I would say my advice to anyone, including my daughter, always stay curious, ask questions, raise your hand to take on a project or get involved. You'd be surprised if what you learn. Just get in the game and get to know people. Like I was saying, listen, get to know people, make that personal contact, have a conversation over coffee, just get to know people. It's amazing how you learn from each other and you make those connections, relationship build. We're humans and we need that interaction. It's really important. And you know what I would invite anybody who wants to explore an opportunity at Access, please do. I think we've got an amazing organization. Super excited for where we're going. And we want people that are hungry, that are curious, that have a growth mindset, want to continue to learn. And we want diversity and we want different perspectives. So bring it.
Thank you, Lisa. That's a great way to finish on. I think it's so important to put yourself out there, to be part of the conversation, to have a network, have those coffees, have those opportunities to meet. And you just don't know what opportunity come from that. But normally it's a lot of opportunity. If you put yourself out there and have those discussions, things normally fall onto your lap. So I think that's such a great positive way to end the podcast. It also sounds like there's just some great opportunity there at Access Capital. And it's going to be really interesting times over the next few years with plenty of scope for a great career. So thank you for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Great to meet you in New York as well, face-to-face a few weeks ago. That was fantastic. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Insurance Coffee House with Nick Hoadley. Join us next time for another episode packed with insights and advice for senior leaders, C-suite executives, and ambitious insurance professionals. Stream all episodes at insurance-search.com.